Part 3, Going for the One, Yes as Postmodern Gestalt Constructor. We have suggested that the Beatles, moving from songwriters to orchestrators of multiple media forms, further Wagner's ideas concerning the total artwork by developing alternate persona, working in film and animation, and ultimately transforming the very notion of what it means to be an entertainer. And the Beatles were very much a band. They collaborated and wrote their own music. They presented aesthetically considered images of themselves. They consolidated the record album as more than just a collection of songs, but as a united band expression. And they even attempted to gain some control over their means of production, Apple Records. While such moves were not entirely unprecedented, together they initiated a new model of how to create and perform music. In this sense, the Beatles were a direct inspiration to countless bands that took such general practices and fulfilled them in their own unique ways. The progressive rock band Yes is such an exemplar, in part because of the uniquely strong aesthetic vision the band brought to all aspects of creative production, but also because of the way they provide a direct link to Wagner due to their instrumental virtuosity, which was considerable, and their deliberate attempts to cross rock and classical music. For these reasons and more, Yes are placed at a key point in the century since Wagner, illustrating how music can retain aesthetic continuity despite dispersion across different media forms, technologies, and contributing personalities. Thus, Yes presents a case for understanding music today in an intriguingly evolutionary sense. For the purposes of this essay, we concentrate on a single album, Close to the Edge, as a striking example of the evolution of musical form and production that presents challenges to more traditional understandings of music, challenges that can help us grapple more readily with what we have rather inelegantly labeled postmodern, post-punk, remix, hip-hop culture. Yes, pioneered prototypical multimedia techniques, even while in an erstwhile musical setting, techniques suggestive of networking that in digital culture transformed disparate media in an experiential world, revealing how compositional work is conducted and how it is received by an audience. First and foremost, we want to address the album's composition. We remark above that Wagner was quite successful and influential in transforming opera into a total dramatic presentation. While the music may have remained primary, other elements came to the fore so that, for the audience, a Wagner production was an intense and immersive experience. Yet for all that, Wagner remained quite product of a romantic cult of genius. He was the auteur, even if others were involved. But Wagner and other classical musicians, Yes, were virtuosic players, and they aspired to composition that could only be achieved through virtuosity. And yet, at least during this time period, they, like many bands, resisted the lure of ego and put the music first, submitting themselves to group composition and seeing the music as greater than any individual. Second, in line with their precursors, the Beatles, the album was conceived as a unified aesthetic object. Not only did the songs share thematic unities, both lyrically and musically, but the album itself was implicated in complex networks of reference. For example, classical composers such as Seibelitz and literary works such as William Blake's poetry and Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha, on which the title track is loosely based, not to mention the politics and lifestyle of the burgeoning Green Movement. We also have to point to Roger Deakin, an English artist and architect famous for numerous albums, including Yes's Close to the Edge. In fact, Dean, to this day, is most strongly associated with Yes, and in conversation, he spoke as if he were a surrogate band member. Dean originally sought to be an architect, and the futurist of otherworldly landscapes he drew reflect that dream, as Yes were also creating unusual musical worlds and soundscapes. Dean went on to design complex stage sets, combining his visual art with architectural design. What is important here is the merging of media and the parallel mingling of communities of people. Visual artist and musical group come together to create an aesthetic object greater than each individual involved, one that is also a hybrid of joined, mutually interactive media forms. All this stretches us beyond the confines of Wagner's aesthetic vision and production, but we have one other consideration, compositional techniques. As reported by the band members, the recording studio and its technologies allowed for new ways to write music. One of the members, typically lead singer John Anderson, would bring in a snippet. The other members would begin to work on it, changing it, evolving it. In this piecemeal fashion, larger works would be built up, such as the 18-minute track, Close to the Edge. There was no original plan or overarching compositional goal. The work evolved out of itself from the shared artistic vision of the group. The producer and engineer, Eddie Offen, was also integral to the process, so much so that his picture appears on the album cover with the rest of the group. Especially important was his ability to edit master tape. Musicians have discovered that composing in a recording studio is a powerful process, yielding new sounds and processes for making music. The studio can also make music difficult to recreate live. Tape editing, as utilized by Yes, is a technological component that becomes so crucial to the composing process that the music could not have been made without it. We are not talking about the direct application of technology, such as using sound effects to change the sound and tone of the instruments, distortion or echo, or to speed up or slow down the music, or create backward sounds. Instead, we mean that technology insinuates itself into the composing process, and in the case of Yes, this means the art as well as technique of the tape. Bill Bruford, the drummer, explains, quote, "Tape editing was fundamental to this band creating the music at all, because we couldn't play any of it through until we'd learned it. We'd play a 30-second segment and say, 'What happens now?' We'd stop the tape and write another 30-second segment. It would go on like that, like climbing Mount Everest." We see here a further evolution in the feedback model. Hendrix was a master at incorporating feedback into the guitar style and making noise musical, then Yes were, among others like Pink Floyd's David Gilmour, pioneers in incorporating tape editing as a furthering of the basic feedback model. Indeed, you might label such a method proto-cybernetic composition. While this analysis has been fairly summary, we hope to have made clear the extent to which Yes pointed towards postmodern remix culture and the technologies that enable its use. Yes, as a group, brought an aesthetically strong vision to its music, fusing the cult of the genius virtuoso in order to make music bigger than all of them, extending the composing process to include technologies like tape editing. But at the same time, they extended the notion of music to include visual art, such as album covers and stage design, not simply as an accessory, but as an integral element in their musical world. Yes, we're not just making music to listen to. Instead, music becomes part of a network of aesthetic elements that open up a world one can experience and interact with. Yes, at least at their peak, fulfilled the promise of the Stampede by bringing together disparate media elements to generate not just music as total art, but as an entire aesthetic world. What is crucial is that they do this as musicians. That is, their art form is not, for example, film, which by its very nature merges sound and vision, and thereby more directly invites comparison to world building. It is through the extension of what music is across new media forms and their associated technologies that artists such as the Beatles, Yes, and numerous other pathbreakers in their wake have come to be forerunners in techno-aesthetico production, and in doing so have initiated a transformation in what it means to experience and interact with such aesthetic production. However, Yes's accomplishments can still be understood as working within the cult of the virtuoso genius, as the trappings of that ideology remained in the myth of the group, and while they perhaps extended notions of composition, still they were very much of their time, which, in terms of our essay, means that this period was prior to the emergence of sampling and other forms of visual production and reproduction. We have so far discussed the notion of the total art form as it has evolved through diverse media forms, technology, means of production, and have assessed the importance of feedback for challenging traditional linear communication models, as well as pointing to the importance of technological advances. Yes's compositional reliance on tape editing can be seen as an early example of standardized production, but as we will see next when we turn to Brian Dunn, this method had far greater potential, not to mention far-reaching implications for the future of sound. End of 3.